Okay, so I'll sit down here and sit there like a little bit. Let's see if I can remember my call it. The two times I've ever used one of those. And then, I guess I'm doing the reading today too, so if that is,
Anne Gilbert, Gilbert.
Read it off the back, here's my words.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to worship here at St. Luke's. Good to see you here today. It's good that we can be in that situation. I appreciate the church council's decision and discussion on that. And so, again, glad to see you here. Because of what has been going on with the pandemic, the communion will be served a little different. That is, we'll do one side and then move to the other side. But other than that, I don't think you'll notice any other differences in the worship service as such. As we are now in Lent, we will be having our midweek services. All five of the midweek services will be here. Ash Wednesday was over at Union Congregational, and Maundy Thursday will be there. But all five in between will be held here. And we'll be using Holy Evening Prayer. And week by week, the theme is for the unity of all, the line comes from the Kyrie, you know, for the well-being of the Church of God, for the peace of the whole world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. And the hymn that we'll use selected verses as we go through is the one that, those sheets that are on the pew, "O Praise the Gracious Power." It's a rather newer Lenten hymn for us, but the last line of it says, "Your cross has made us one," which really fits the theme. And it's a nice melody. There's only one place that the timing is a little bit, that's what we do. And that's at the beginning of the refrain. As you're singing, you think that should be a three count. "We praise you, Christ." It actually is only two. "We praise you, Christ." That kind of feel. Now, Julie's going to play that, and then we'll sing it. We're going to start at the beginning. We'll sing the first verse. Yeah.
Okay.
"Oh, praise liberation's power that doubles walls of fear and gathers in one house of faith all strangers far and near. We praise you, Christ, your cross has It's a little, when I told Julie we were going to use this one, she said, nice, so many Lenten hymns seem kind of, you know, minor key and drab, and this one has got a little more bounce to it, but it also has that particular theme, "Your cross has made us one," and it fits the theme of the season so well. So, announcements, as I said, the Lenten service will be here, and Bible study again on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. And that can be in person also. I'm trying to figure out, we've got one person, Kay Thompson, who is in Qatar, who always wants to be on, and it'll be a little tricky, but that's her problem in mind, to figure out how to combine the in-person and the Zoom for the Bible study, but we'll do our best. It may be that I'll be the only one able to see her as we do that, but you're welcome to be here for Bible study if you choose. We begin with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We sing Baptized in Water. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, in the water of the flood you saved your chosen, and in the wilderness of temptation you protected your Son from sin. Renew us through the gift of baptism. May your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading comes from Genesis chapter 9, 8 through 17. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I established my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set down my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant It is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all the flesh that is on the earth." Word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today, let us read responsibly, Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice. You teach the lowly your way. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. The second reading is from the third chapter of 1 Peter. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the Spirit in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through the water. And baptism, which is this prefigured now to save you, not as a removal of dirt from your body, but an appeal to God for the good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Word of God.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel.
For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news, the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you ready? You know, there are a lot of contexts in which that gets asked. You can remember the Monday night football thing. Are you ready for some football? Are you ready? If students are asked that question, some of them will say, yeah, and others will say, well, not yet. But then they'll say, but I work better under pressure, right? We've probably all used that line at some time or other. Most of the time, it just means you've been procrastinating. But you've asked yourself that question. Are you ready? You've asked before you start a new job, before you get married, before you retired, and whatever else may have been part of your life. I don't know if it makes you feel any better, but today's gospel tells us that the same was true of Jesus. That question, are you ready? It's short, this gospel reading, but it has three scenes: the baptism, the temptation, and the beginning of his ministry. It's about his identity and about his mission, about what he is in the world to accomplish. Now, we should notice that here Jesus seems to be coming just like everybody else for John's baptism. People are coming from everywhere, and Jesus comes from Nazareth for the same thing. And then when he comes up out of the water, there are two very dramatic things there, because the Gospel of Mark says Jesus saw this. Jesus saw the heavens torn apart, just like Isaiah had pleaded, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." The same kind of thing that happened when Jesus was crucified, when the curtain of the temple was torn, a ripping apart. And here it says Jesus saw that, and Jesus heard the voice. Not everybody, but Jesus, because the voice says, "You are." Not "this is" like a general announcement, but a word to Jesus. "You are my son, the beloved." The text shows us a quick switch then from the baptism to the wilderness to the ministry. The voice declares his identity, and I think in the wilderness he somehow comes face to face with his mission, because he comes back from there and immediately starts with it. He heads to solitude. He is driven, in fact, the Greek says he's thrown out into the wilderness. That Greek word is like driven out there. And in the Bible, wilderness is, I guess we'd all know that, a fairly deserted place. It's a place where any number of times we find that shepherds are out in the wilderness with their flocks. That it's that kind of grazing place. I suppose people who first came to Wyoming, the Europeans who first saw this, thought this is wilderness, because a lot of places here you couldn't grow any corn. But it's the kind of place that was for that reason. When we were living in Aberdeen, South Dakota, there was a Catholic priest who was a friend. And he told me that one time he had decided that he should try some solitude. I don't know if this was the verse that persuaded him or not. But he went out by some little river, the White or the Bad River, or one of those out there, set up his tent, and was going to spend a week out there in contemplation. He said it was the worst week of his life, because it was all there were was bugs and heat and all that stuff. So he kept being distracted over and over again. So maybe that was for him a time of temptation. I don't know. So for Jesus, this here it doesn't say in Mark what the content of the temptation was. It simply says that it was a temptation to somehow be something other than Son of God. It was a temptation to face the options and the possibility of his life, both negative and positive. For 40 days he was in the wilderness. And it says he was with the wild beasts and the angels waited on him. I couldn't find any place in the Bible where wild beasts means threatening animals, means dangerous animals. It's just, there are wild animals, wild beasts, and domestic animals. So some people read this as representing threat. Say he was out there threatened constantly during this time of temptation. Others say maybe it should be read as a time of relative harmony, when he was there and was not threatened. As when the lion will lie down with the lamb, you know that passage? A little glimpse of the peaceable kingdom. We don't know. It could be read either way. But in that place, Jesus was away from human contact, and God cared for him by the means of angels, as was done in the Old Testament with Hagar, and then later with Elijah. And then we hear no more about John the Baptist. Well, except that he's arrested. Seems to be the end of his ministry, and then Jesus begins his own. And his message sounds a little the like, that is, a call to repentance. But the difference is that Jesus says, "Now believe in the good news." John didn't say that. John was just the call to repentance. And now Jesus says, "This is a new day. The time is fulfilled. Believe the good news." And repent, we've talked about this before. Repent doesn't mean feel bad. Repent, that goes with confession kind of stuff, the thing, lament and all of that. It may be a piece of it for any given individual or any given moment, but the whole idea of repentance is to turn. And I've used the illustration before about if you're out on the highway and find you're going the wrong way, doesn't matter how bad you feel about it. The thing that counts is to get turned around and go the right way. And that's what the real theme of repentance is. It means to recognize that something is amiss, that something is heading the wrong way in your life, and to say you need to turn around. God is not eager to have you feel bad. God is eager to have you line up with the will and the purposes of God. So are you ready? You have been baptized. You have been identified as a child of God. Your baptism was like an ordination. I've said that before. We've all been ordained once. I've been ordained twice, as Pastor John also. But the first ordination, the first thing that sets you apart to be a servant of God, was your baptism. And so that means every day facing the question. Every day, and for as long as you live, are you ready for that? Are you ready to be a child and a servant and a witness to what God wishes to do in the world? So what needs to be left behind? What viewpoints and connections with the way things are best left behind, faced, recognized, and then discarded? A searching look, at what kind of things in our life, maybe because it's such a common theme these days, what kind of prejudices do we recognize from time to time? Oh, yeah, that still is a part of me. That still is a part of me. And so what needs to be done to kind of get a little bit more alive? I don't know if we can ever get rid of them. We've grown up with them very often, and some of them just stick to us like glue, but maybe it's time to turn away from greed or from resentment or regarding other people with disdain. To believe in the good news means, for one thing, to stop believing in the bad news. Believe in all of the bad things that this world throws at us. So what does it mean to be beloved Son of God? The first reading gives a clue. Because it says God declares that God is making a covenant not just with Noah and some few of his descendants, but with every living creature of all flesh. Everything is in God's care and concern and desire. This is a world that we live in that specializes in dividing people, and that also tends to see such a huge degree between us and other creatures, we don't have to care for them. But really we are, as it says in the book of Genesis, we are stewards. We are stewards, caretakers of the whole creation. And that all relates again to the Lenten theme I've announced, for the unity of all. And we can think of the amazing, inclusive ministry of Jesus. And think of St. Paul and what St. Paul says, there is no longer Jew and Greek, slave or free, male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. The good news includes challenge. One example I've given, and that is we get to see all people as our sisters and brothers. You get to dream. We get to dream of a mended creation. All things in harmony. Somebody said that first chapter of Genesis, that first creation story, is like a symphony where everything is, all the instruments are brought in to play their part. And at the end of it, the whole creation is a harmonious symphony to the Creator. That's the kind of dream that we can have of the way we live in the world and see it. We get to be God's instrument to feed the hungry. We do that so well in Boulder, so in Buffalo too. I mean, so many things that the congregation has been involved in. Habitat for Humanity and Food Pantry and all kinds of other things. I'm not even going to try to name them. But all those things we get to do to be God's instrument, to feed the hungry, visit the imprisoned, and all the other things involved in the kind of ministry Jesus described in that last judgment parable. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. Sick and in prison and you visited me. The bad news is that as we do that, sometimes we feel we're batting our head against the wall. But we get to live out and even share the good news of God's love. And this is in a busy and distracted world. But in all of it, the good news, friends, is that God forgives our sin, brings us back from our wandering over and over again, frees us from all the powers that would lead us astray, and hangs on to us even when we might want to turn tail and run away. God's power is expressed toward us in grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and that is good news indeed. Amen. We sing Jesus Shall Reign. And Chris Johns to come forward for installation. These people have been elected by the congregation to positions of leadership. In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death and made you members of his church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. I ask you, together with all who are here gathered, to confess the faith of the Church, the faith in which we are baptized. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. St. Paul writes, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives to everyone ability for particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith reflect Him in whose name we gather. You are to work together with other members to see that the worship and work of Christ are done in this congregation and that God's will is done in this community and in the world. You are to be diligent in your specific area of serving that the one Lord who empowers you is glorified. You are to be examples of faith, active, and love to help maintain the life and harmony of this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, are you ready to accept and faithfully to carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? Then answer yes by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
People of God, I ask you, will you support these your elected leaders and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? Then answer yes by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
I now declare you installed as officers of this congregation.
God bless you with his Holy Spirit, that you may prove faithful servants of Christ.
Thank you.
Good to have you on board in these offices. And we will now continue with the prayers. So you can enter his place.
Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. In Jesus, your realm has come near to us at every place and time. Give to your church throughout the world a spirit of humility and repentance. Teach us to trust always in the good news of your salvation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You have made a covenant of mercy with every living creature. Protect all the earth's creatures from destruction. Empower the work of biologists, conservationists, and science educators. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
All your paths are steadfast love and faithfulness. Direct the words and actions of leaders in our community and throughout the world, that they may maintain justice for the Lord. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Even in the wilderness you are with us. Walk alongside migrants and refugees crossing dangerous lands. Tend to those whose lives feel desolate. Give healing and strength to all who suffer, especially those we know who are in our hearts, in our families, in our community. Hear us, O God. In the covenant of baptism, you claim us as beloved children. Nurture us in our baptismal identity. And teach us to live within it for the sake of others. Strengthen this congregation's ministries of care and concern. Hear us, O God. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee and through all who work for the future of our ministry in the world. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah and Will as they seek candidates. We pray that the Spirit will move in the hearts of those potential candidates as well. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In baptism, you join us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise you for all those who have died trusting in your faithfulness. Bring us with them to the fullness of your reign. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And
we share a sign of peace with one another in a time when we can't shake hands. We can at least give each other a nod and a peace sign in some way acknowledge that we live and desire to be at peace with this community. This is the time when ordinarily the offering is received, but we're not passing it. But however, there are offering plates, I think, at both ends of the system. And I want to acknowledge the fact that the faithfulness of you, the people of God, has continued through this time. On behalf of the congregation and with thanksgiving to God, I say that thank you, thank God for you, because the ministry of this congregation continues to be supported even with all of the trials and difficulties that this pandemic has brought upon us. Thanks be to God. We continue with the offer for the response.
Thank you.
at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we make up to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ is God, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say Amen.
Amen.
Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and with wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom, and let the church say Amen.
Amen.
Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered in one by the Spirit, we pray in Jesus Christ, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God to the people of God come to the table. And the directions are that I'll serve this side first, come and down the center aisle, and return to the other side. And I will get both. the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith for you and in fervent love for one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.